This is CliffCentral.com. I'm a sucker for you.
You've really felt that, eh?
Thank you. Yes, I did. From the depths of my core.
The reunited Jonas Brothers.
You know.
Good for the Jonas Brothers, because they are the Jonas Brothers.
But also the middle Jonas one, the one who's not that famous. I was thinking maybe...
No, I think the oldest is the one who's...
I don't know. When I say middle, I mean the one that's kind of seems like he's in the middle.
There's Kevin. Kevin's the eldest, then Joe, then Nick.
So Joe, basically. No one knows who Joe is.
No one knows who Kevin is. Joe is part of DNCE. DNCE. You know, Cake by the Ocean? Don't tell me, baby. I'll be dead to you, be Naomi.
I didn't know what the DNCE it was.
You do know who DNCE is.
I just thought that was a Maroon 5 song.
Well, now you know.
So that's not a Maroon 5 song?
No.
Well, Adam Levine is everywhere nowadays. How am I to know? I mean, they throw him into the Super Bowl because he's just so non-offensive.
This is DNCE.
Is this not...
Definitely not. Just show him the picture.
No. And this is Joe Jonas, who's the lead. Does it ring a bell? Oh.
Sorry, I'm just yawning uncontrollably. Yeah. No, I get you. Okay, now I learned something.
So, DNCE. It stands without the A. Work with me, Ben. Work with Ben. You are just not working out here. So DNCE is headed up by Joe Jonas. And then Nick Jonas, you know, he's the one who just had that 40,000 weddings and married to Priyanka Chopra.
Yeah.
And then Kevin Jonas is the eldest who, after the Jonas Brothers initially split up, he just went home and had babies and got married.
Yeah, he lived a very normal life.
Okay, so he clearly wanted the reunion the most.
That's what I was thinking.
He's like, please can we make music that I don't necessarily like, but let's just do it right now.
And money.
Yeah, he needed to pay off some bills. That was the case. But you were saying something about...
That's exactly what I was saying, is that in my mind, Kevin just was not getting as much money as the others, and they thought, well, let's help the dude out.
No, I think they've raised quite a lot of money. But I think it's purely just to get away from the kids. Look, Kevin could either become an Ironman athlete or a Jonas Brother again.
Oh.
And the first one's a lot of work. That's what happens when you have kids and you reach that age.
Because he actually, though, is big in the tech space. So what he did with his money after the Jonas Brothers era, the initial one, was he started investing in a lot of tech startups. And there were like two or three big ones, big investments that came back in his favor. So that's what he was preoccupying his time with. And then they've now recently come back. So this is what I've heard. You know, like they were on James Corden, and James Corden literally filmed like 40,000 different things with them.
I don't know what he was the one who launched them back into
honestly
stardom.
They did a carpool karaoke. They did a
spill your guts or
fill your guts.
Fill your spill. Yes.
Something where you have to either tell the
or
truth
you have to
or
eat
you
insects
eat something
and
disgusting.
Things
and then they did another short YouTube thing, and then they did a performance, and then they did a normal interview. I say all of this to say, in one of those skits, James Corden got them to all be on a lie detector test. And one of the things that came out in Nick Jonas's lie detector test was that he was actually the one who split the band up initially. And also, secondly, he's the one who thinks he's the best singer, which makes sense, though. I think Nick just got to a point where he's like, actually, I'm way cooler on my own. And he did. So, hey.
That's inevitable amongst brothers and bands.
And it's a double whammy when you're in a band with your brothers.
I'm pretty sure one of the Hanson girls did exactly the same thing. One thought, screw this, I'm much prettier and more talented than the rest, and on they went.
Who were the doo-wop guys?
Hanson.
Yeah, okay.
They were brothers. He's being facetious.
Allegedly.
No, I really did think, maybe I missed the Hanson girls era, so I don't know. You really had me for a moment.
Hey guys, let's tighten this up a bit. Airwolf dude died. We totally missed this last week.
Oh,
John Michael Vincent.
Sure,
you know that I actually saw him in real life.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
How do you not have a shirt that says this and you wear it every day?
I don't know if he was there, and I'm trying to remember, but the Airwolf helicopter was there. It was at a Checkers center when I was about 10 or something.
Yeah, so you saw a helicopter, Leanne?
No, it was the actual Airwolf. It came to South Africa.
Yeah, but there was no Jean-Michel Vincent, was there?
I thought he was there. Maybe I really wanted him to, and my mom said, yes, Leanne, he's there.
Some charismatic car guard just basically stood close enough and like, look, there's Jean-Michel Vincent.
But he never really did anything after Airwolf, did he?
No, he didn't. He did drugs and alcohol, though, which isn't quite as good as acting, I guess, if you want to make money. So he did a lot of that, and he died, 73.
Just for...
cardiac arrest.
Was he aged 73?
He was aged 73.
Do you find that shocking?
Oh, I feel very old.
Just for us 90s kids, what's Airwolf about?
It's like Knight Rider in the sky.
Ah.
It's like this amazing airborne thing that looks like a helicopter, but it's so computerized and amazing.
You've got a computer, just type in Airwolf.
Well, okay, I'll do that
So what you do when you run the desk, you Google it, and then you act like you already know everything about it by playing the theme tune.
Sure, let's go with that.
You have much to learn about hosting the show.
It was technology at its best. Now it would be hilarious to watch.
But you know, he also was someone before Airwolf. He was in Bonanza, Lassie, and Gunsmoke.
Yes, I remember he was in Lassie.
He was also in the movie The World's Greatest Athlete and Buster and Billy. But that was in the 70s. So literally, Airwolf was his last thing, and then it was just booze and drugs.
Yeah, I did hear that then, that he's been arrested a couple of times. He had acts related to domestic violence. He was once like arrested on drug possession and alcohol abuse charges. Well, I don't think he's going to be arrested for alcohol abuse charges, but rather struggled with alcohol.
He struggled.
That's the theme tune.
Well, seeing as CA won't play it, I'm not playing it through my microphone. Get some professionalism, sir.
Sure, Ben, since it will make your morning.
Sitting on your ass there.
Let's just play it because we are so confused. Go with that. But this is what I think is sad from this entire instance. He actually died back in Feb.
What?
So, these are according to TMZ reports. Now, it's one thing to not have a big job after Airwolf.
How did no one know about this?
That's it. That is being beyond like a D-lister. I don't mean to offend the dude. I didn't know him nor know about him. But it's one thing to die after your time in fame. Then it's another to die in Feb and no one actually notices who you are. It is like a good almost a month before the news came to light.
Wow.
Yeah, how about that now?
He actually had his leg amputated due to drug-related really? Issues. Yeah.
This guy was a mess.
I'm not going to laugh anymore. Oh, shame.
I mean, if you just to show Sia what he used to look like, he was a real hunk
with electric blue eyes.
Ooh. Ooh, does that scroll up again? Pause at his torso. Yeah, that's good.
And then he ended up like this. This is the after.
Oh gosh, he does have just the one leg. He's still rocking a pretty dandy hairstyle though.
No. Yeah, that's quite a full head of hair for someone in their 70s. He did have a bit of a pedo moustache towards the end. But yeah,
but it's weird, eh? He died like a full month ago and everyone's like, oh, so he died.
According to TMZ, and they say that they have, according to a death certificate that they got, he died on the 10th of Feb after suffering a cardiac arrest.
God, he really did look like shit at the end, huh?
Yeah, he did.
Still, he had the blue eyes and he still had like long blonde hair.
His leg was amputated in 2012 after he contracted a nasty blood infection.
Man.
He was married 3 times. His third wife, Patricia, seemingly turned his life around, but his demons came back to haunt him.
But for someone who was big in the 80s, he was earning at $200,000 per episode.
Wow.
That's
ridiculous.
Firstly, a lot for the 80s.
Well, I mean, Airwolf was one of the top programs.
Wow.
It was, but it was notoriously expensive for what it was. Think all those like helicopter shots. Like, it's a big deal. And eventually they were like, screw it, the show is just too expensive. We can't keep it up.
Sure. Okay.
Mm. Well, there's one man who did escape from the jaws of death. And he's alive and well, and it happened just off the coast of South Africa.
What happened there?
So off the coast of PE, a real-life Jonah. What was the whale guy in the Bible? Jonah. He got swallowed by a whale.
I thought we were still talking about the Jonas Brothers for a moment.
No, Jonah. He's a diver. He's a German guy. He's been in PE for years with his diving operation. He's been here for 15 years to be exact. And in the interviews you see, he's here with a lot of his family as well from Germany. His name's Rainer Schimpf, 51 years old. And he was just snorkeling through the ocean, because at the moment there is the sardine run. So obviously lots of activity there with sharks and dolphins and whales and all sorts of things. And he was in the water, and the rest of his crew were filming. And he didn't see the whale coming. He just said it went dark.
What was the rest of the crew doing at this point?
Well, see, what can they do?
This is when people would be fired.
Filming for likes.
What can they do? No. So that, I mean,
hey, Jeff, behind you, whale.
Yeah, he said it just went absolutely dark, and then he felt like pressure on his hips. And he knew at that point that he was facing into the inside of the whale's mouth.
Most Bill Cosby accusers have the exact same experience.
the whale, a whale doesn't generally go after humans.
No.
And in this case...
Moby Dick went after a couple, didn't he?
Maybe. In this case, they're saying he just had his mouth open to take in some of the sardines in the sardine run. And closed his jaw without even, because whales can't actually see what's right in front of them because their eyes are a bit further back. So he probably thought, oh my gosh, I've snapped onto a dolphin. So he was going up at the time, the whale, and the diver, Rainer, realized at that point that the whale was going to go down. That was his next move. So he basically held his breath. That's all that he could do. Held his breath, went down, and then the whale realized that he had something big in his mouth, biggish, and released it. And he was unharmed. But
is there footage of this now?
Yes. There's an actual video. You can watch the whole video.
Shout out to the crew.
And all he said was when he got back onto the boat, was like, did you get that? So, yeah.
No. That wouldn't bode well for me. At least could I have had a heads up from one of the crew members, like, yo, behind
you. And what were you going to do? You're in the waters, yeah? You can't run anywhere. You can't hide anywhere. You're in the thing's mouth.
It's on principle. No, at least on principle, tell me that there's something behind me. If I didn't swim fast enough and it did end up getting me into its mouth, fantastic.
It's the ocean. Something is always behind you.
And it's the sardine run. There were definitely whales and sharks and dolphins right there.
I would fire someone.
No, look, if you want to be swimming around sardining, you're going to get touched by something. You're going to get stabbed by a cormorant or seduced by a dolphin or swallowed by a whale. It's par for the course. That's what these guys are up for.
He said that the whole experience showed him just how small humans are in the world.
Yes, we're tiny, we're insignificant, so we shouldn't always go into the water either.
Once you're grabbed by something that's 15 tons heavy and very fast in the water, you realize you're actually only that small in the middle of the ocean. Someone who was warned about something being behind him in the ocean, though. Yeah, now
I don't like the segue already.
This one really is the one that gets me.
Why am I itchy? Okay.
A guy named Artem Chachenko was flying his drone over a beach in the Bahamas,
what a fabulous name.
And he was capturing the picturesque scene with this pristine turquoise water.
Lovely.
Beautiful. And he was flying it over and he saw a young boy swimming very close to the sand. A boy just swimming by himself. And as the drone was hovering over, you can even see the little boy's green swim trunks. But then the drone operator realized that something was approaching him. I didn't know this, but you could scream. You can send voice through the drone as the drone operator.
Okay. Maybe if there's a speaker and yes. something. Okay.
Yeah. And he started screaming, run, run, to this little boy. Well, I don't know why he didn't scream swim. But there were 3 to 4 nurse sharks, which are pretty harmless. But they were literally stalking this little kid. This guy screamed to him, run, run, run.
Well,
and the kid heard him and got out of the water.
You got to ask, were the sharks stalking the kid, or was the guy stalking the kid, or were the sharks telling the kid to run away from the guy?
It's like the sardine run.
It is. I mean, this is a chicken egg kind of situation, because the guy's flying a drone over a child. The sharks maybe were saying, oi, look out for that guy.
The picture Leanne has just shown.
Don't doubt nature, Leanne.
No, I think he was just taking in the scenery, saw the little boy, saw the sharks, because the water's so clear.
Thank goodness. I don't know. For
I reckon all
water.
The sharks, all the sharks just watched Leaving Neverland, and they were saying, look, kid, watch out. This guy's got his, and he's shouting at you through his drone. That's creepy.
So, yeah, some people pointed out the sharks.
An hour earlier, he was spotted shouting, I've got candy from his drone as well.
Oh, no, Ben.
Why did we have to reach that point exactly? Really, thank goodness for that clear water. And the photo that you've shown me, it's just the 3 sharks in tow following this little kid.
Yeah. And again, it shows me, you know, I love the sea and I love everything to do with the ocean, except for the fact that I might get eaten by a shark. And I really battle to go more than ankle deep in water. And again, this picture shows you that the sharks are right at the edge of the water.
Yeah, if it's not a pool, don't sign me up. I don't like open bodies of water. I don't like water where there are things living and breeding. I don't... No.
Well, I mean, whether it's a shark, case, there are things living and breeding in tap water, I'll tell you.
Well, whether it's a shark or whether it's some weird bacteria.
Okay, fungi, so it's a bacteria thing as well.
Or... I'm just itchy thinking about it.
But, you know, again, these are people who are going into animals' environments. And, Ben, we were speaking last week about zoos and the fact that we don't particularly enjoy them unless, the animal's there for a reason, because it can't survive in the wild, and they're looking after it and gaining invaluable research from it, if.
Which is, I think, maybe 10%. Otherwise, it's just a prison.
Yeah.
They're just creating prisons around the world.
Well, in Arizona, a woman stepped over the barrier to take a photograph of...
I heard about this.
Yes, the story
the
is great.
The panther, right?
A jaguar.
Oh.
This black jaguar. Gorgeous animal. Yeah, she stepped over the barrier to get a closer look. And she has been left with injuries. You know, she's alive. Injuries that required medical attention. She was kind of rolling around on the floor in agony. And there was quite a bit of blood coming from her stomach area. But it happened at the Wildlife World Zoo in Litchfield Park. She crossed over the barrier to get a photo, was attacked by the female jaguar. The zoo had tweeted this, citing witnesses' accounts.
Well, what were you expecting to happen?
No, exactly.
I really don't understand what they were expecting to happen.
The zoo tweeted, sending prayers to the family tonight.
Oh, sorry, it's not funny.
No, zoo, that's not what you must do. No. You must say, serve the bitch right. Please don't do this.
The zoo should be saying, this is what happens to
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Not thoughts and prayers for dumbass over there. Stupid people must be called out often.
Stupid people are stupid. Exactly. They really are.
This man says he was at the zoo with his family when someone came running around the corner yelling for help. He says, without thinking, I had no idea what I was going to see. I just ran over there. I saw the girl up against the fence with her arm caught in the jaguar's claws.
Yeah, I wouldn't even helped her. I would have walked past.
Well, that's a problem.
I would not.
Why are you running towards
it? I would not have put my hands there anywhere near the scenario.
No,
she chose her path.
I would have run the opposite direction.
So another man ran up and shoved a water bottle through the cage. A woman, sorry. Just to try and distract the jaguar, and it apparently did work. It let go of the victim at that point.
And I wonder what the jaguar's instinct is. Was it really attacking to kill?
Who cares? It's probably just bored.
Yeah.
And if it's bored, it has every right to grab it. If I look at my cats, if one of my cats is bored and I happen to walk past, he'll grab at my sock or whatever.
My dogs don't do that. That's why cats are just a horrible animal.
They're not horrible animals.
Ben just swung at me. Ben, you can't be hitting me all the time.
Well, then behave.
No. I'm entitled to my opinion here.
Well, that's a wrap-up of everything from the world of animals.
Well, speaking of the worst animals in the world, it turns out that South Africa has, I think, the sixth biggest problem alcohol in the whole world. Now, when I say problem, obviously it's a big discussion, this. Okay, so the World Health Organization, who all of the time very smug, they say that they give countries rankings out of five about what their sort of problems are with alcohol or dependency on alcohol. Two countries have a 5 out of 5. That's Ukraine and Russia. No surprises there.
Yeah.
South Africa comes in with a rating of 4.
Jeez, really not far behind.
Yeah. So, look, alcohol is amazing. I think it's brilliant. It's I can't imagine life without it. I don't drink excessively, but I do value and cherish its place in my life. It's great. But yeah. So apparently, 50% of people. Right, okay. These are some of the stats that have come out of this report. 7% of South Africans suffer from disorders due to dangerous drinking. 2% of South Africans are psychologically and physiologically dependent on alcohol.
Only 2%?
Yeah, it's quite low.
Yeah.
6% of all deaths within SA are solely because of alcohol. So that's just primary alcohol. Mm. That's not taking in bad behavior, which then leads to death and that kind of stuff.
And domestic abuse.
Yeah, so, I mean, this... Look, there's a couple of theories around this, okay? So, taking this extract from the SouthAfrican.com, it says alcohol excise tax may be attributed to bringing South Africa's alcohol problem. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? All these, like, smart people are saying, given the societal harm, the taxation of alcohol products must be urgently revisited.
Okay.
This process should also rationalize the tax treatment of all alcohol products, so they are taxed equally in terms of their alcohol content. I mean, look, with this whole thing about taxing, firstly, it's a terrible habit, and you should never encourage governments to tax because they just want to steal anything. But I don't believe alcohol should be taxed heavily.
No.
People got to learn how to fucking behave. It's simple as that. We've got to go back to the root cause of this. If we make alcohol expensive, we're not going to get as many tourists coming out here, okay? A lot of them come here because the booze is cheap. Well, call me a cynic, but tell you what, that's what they're like. Foreigners like to puzzle as much as we do. They come here and they get shit-faced on Chateau, whatever, the floor, for like...
They get Chateau-faced.
For like €3.
That should be the name of my autobiography. Yeah,
you can drink fancy out here.
Yeah.
But there's reasons, like, people get drunk disorderly because they're disorderly people. If you just pour booze in it, maybe not the best thing, but it's not booze's problem. It's not booze's fault.
Yeah, we're going to find another outlet. And that's what's going to happen.
Exactly. Or like in the case of like Russia and those other like weird countries, people start making their own booze and that's when people really start to die and lose their shit.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
You don't want to play around with
that. And also, like, it's not like government and go, okay, we've received excess amount of money because of booze tax. We are now putting that money to good use by basically educating people. They don't. They just keep the money they're stealers, basically. So that's not going to help anyway.
And look, let drinking people be. If you're drinking for fun, if you're drinking for dealing with your issues, I think...
Or just to keep warm, like in Russia.
The higher the tax goes, the more then you'll have people on medication.
Doesn't help anybody. But beer seems the most consumed drink, obviously. 56% of all drinkers drink beer. Wine and spirits scored the same of 18%.
Mm.
So I'm part of the 56. I love beer. I'm not fancy.
You're doing a new beer's resolution.
Yeah, so I
How many beers have you been through this year so far?
Not many.
So you're trying all the artisanal beers?
So what I'm doing is whatever beer I come into contact with that looks interesting, I'll have. So I'm not going out and buying like 10 different beers every single week.
Mm.
So I'm letting the beer come to me. As part of like a experiment, like so at the end of the year, I look back and think of all the different beers that I've had.
So you're obviously documenting.
Yes, this. I'm putting a picture on Instagram. Yeah. So I've had 10 different beers this year so far. Doesn't mean I've only had 10 beers. Like I've duplicated, obviously.
You've had like 15 of the ones you really liked.
Yeah, but I found some amazing beers. It's a really cool thing to kind of do because obviously I can behave, I can deal with my alcohol, so therefore I'm going to really enjoy it.
Hmm.
And it's so cool to find all these different beers. Then I post about them. Then people share their experiences and they say, you should really try this or I really love that. And before you know it, then you're becoming more social. And that's what alcohol should be.
Yeah, and the world of beer has become so much more exciting.
Beer's great.
Of late.
Yeah. Beer's so good.
The one thing I've been trying to do is to get into beer and also try to just take a sip without making a horrible scrunched up face.
Two very good things, yeah.
And so far, you know, like I bought a six pack the other day. I was like, okay, here goes nothing. And I did it all at home. So I'm glad that first bottle went down. I have never scrunched up my face.
Well, what'd you start with?
It's a cider brand.
That's not a
so
beer.
It wasn't beer, it was cider. Oh my god.
Well, it had lemon infusion. Does that count as a real beer? Or was it just a cider?
I don't know what to do about
so
you.
So I'm trying to get into wine. So what I did is I went out and I got iced tea.
I got iced tropez.
Okay, never mind. All right, I'll get tips from you later, Ben.
Iced tropez.
So you went for like the strangest, girliest cider, thinking you're not drinking beer.
I was told that's the first step in trying to have beer. It has some malt in it.
The first step in trying to do something is doing that thing.
No, so it was a flavored beer. A beer flavored with lemon.
Yes.
That's I know which one you're talking about.
What was it called? Tell us.
Flying Fish, probably.
Yes. Isn't that a first step into the
beer
world?
It's beer. It's just flavored with something that's never seen a lemon in its life.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, it doesn't go down well for me.
Mm-mm.
All right. No, that's a fair start.
But I think I should continue with that for a bit of flavor and then...
But if that's tripping you up, you might battle with actual beer.
I don't even like the smell.
Especially when it comes to stouts and things like that.
Since I'm a determined alcoholic, I want to get into beer.
Basically, you drink a Flying Fish when you're hungover and you can't quite get back on the horse.
This is why I judge some people. They wake up and you're able
you
to
have one in the morning. It's a morning beer.
It's like
peach-flavored. The Belgian peach-flavored beers are really good morning beers.
It's a little kickoff.
To have with a croissant or a pastry. And that's what people do.
People. Yeah.
Belgians.
It's because I am a committed alcoholic. I really hate going through a time in the day when I can't drink. You know, wine, you wait for lunch or dinner. Champagne, well, you can have a mimosa, I guess. But I want to get into beer, so I'll see. Let's see what the next couple of weeks hold. All right, speaking of, here's something interesting. Sign of the times, hashtag thoughts and prayers, folks. There's only one blockbuster left in the entire world. Blockbuster, the video chain store.
Oh, yes.
There's only one final one left.
They should keep it, for museum-type sakes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It would actually become a massive attraction if you just called it the Blockbuster Museum.
Yeah.
And just you go let in it there, be.
And you can have, like, VHS sections, the beta section, which is, like, four videos. And then you can have, like, the Blu-ray, like, section.
And behind the spaghetti string curtains, the porn section.
Yeah.
Mm.
So and then you can actually have someone rewinding tapes the whole day.
Yes. Like,
the only job is rewinding tapes.
With like a Wayne's World hat on or something. Yeah.
There were two, one located in Australia, and the one in Australia just announced that it's closing. So there's only one Blockbuster left in the world, and it is in the state of Oregon in the United States. And people are actually banding up saying, this is why we still think there's a role for videotape stores in the world, and the likes of the fact that Netflix and Amazon, you know, big streaming powerhouses, will stream latest titles. But you can't exactly find good old school 80s movies readily available on these streaming platforms. So people are actually saying, hold up, please, like, can you do something? Can we compromise? Can we meet in the middle? I actually think this is an opportunity then for Blockbuster to take all of their old school movies and move them online. But I think it's just...
Well, you know how Netflix started, right?
No.
For the guy who was
Netflix
too
would
lazy to...
Netflix would deliver DVDs to you.
Oh, yes.
Very strict. Obviously, you could only work in the first world country because they had a decent postal system. Mm. But they would deliver these things to you, and they would just take them back. So then I thought, okay, well, what if we just have this like platform where you can actually just watch the stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Ta-da!
A digital platform.
Yeah.
And here we are.
But speaking of that, I mean, Showmax is really great like that. You get some great old movies in that.
See, that I think is a great...
I'm a massive fan of I completely unprovoked always plug these guys. I think they've got a great system there.
Mm.
You so love to watch some golden oldies once
in
a while.
Both, yeah.
Speaking of the sign of the times and how things are changing, Victoria's Secret is going to close 53 stores in the US alone.
And this is quite a big thing because you look at the Victoria's Secret Angels, the fashion shows, the hype, and someone was saying recently in the press how it's no longer an amazing thing to be a Victoria's Secret Angel because of the background of the story with all the stores closing and, you know, the difficulties that they're facing.
Mm. Yeah, but also that I think the way Hollywood's gone and, like, people don't want to be objectifying women and all of that kind of stuff. Also, Victoria's Secret Saudi Arabia didn't really kick off.
No.
And they were looking to expand in that part of the world.
Just didn't.
No.
On the business side, they didn't have a great 2018. The sales at stores fell 7% in the most recent quarter, and the company has lost almost 3.8 million customers. That makes, you know, rands and cents on paper. But I do think a bulk of their dwindle is what you're saying, Ben, with the fact that now it's like, oh my gosh, it's so brash and objectification of women. But then I think also, secondly, one of the major buzzwords now is inclusion. And Victoria's Secret was very, very staunch on the fact that they will keep their sizes to a certain point. Mm. They will not make
AA stroke A, where you've basically got a nipple and they make a lace covering for it.
They will not do sizes for larger women.
Mm.
You look at the numbers of not just normal average people. People are slightly larger than, they're more people who are slightly larger than slightly smaller people.
Mm.
And also they faced a bit of backlash last year sometime when one of their heads said that they'll never cast a transgender model ever.
Mm.
And, you know, you think of the whole allure and illusion of being a Victoria's Secret angel and how you're perfect and you wear a diamond studded bra.
It's like, what's the diet secret of a Victoria's Secret angel?
It's the fantasy of it all.
Yeah.
So sometimes you do think maybe it's just social justice warriors or people on social media going on and on when they call for boycotts. But there were major boycotts called against Victoria's Secret last year because of the fact that they said they wouldn't cast a transgender model. And I think all of these things add up to the fact that, well, whoopsie, now you have to close down 53 stores.
They count against a brand very easily now.
Mm.
Before, these things weren't made that public, and now it's just so socially open and out there.
There's also this very strange thing about it having to be represented, people having to do these kind of things. Like, Victoria's Secret's about, wow, women are beautiful, look at what they can wear, and it's a celebration, okay? That's all they got into business for. They didn't get into business for anything else, but now, because they're in the public eye, and Adam Levine's going to their concerts or whatever, their things, then it, all of a sudden, they have to have plus-size women. That was not their thing. That's not their business model. That's not their market.
Mm.
It's like us suddenly having, like, a play school podcast because we feel we have to represent children's sweets needs more or whatever.
Mm.
And now they've got to have a transgender because that's like a big deal. But that's not their business model. Mm. That is not their brand.
I have two parts to that. The first is, with great power comes great responsibility. I think if you are a major powerhouse and you do have means and you are viewed as a leader and a trailblazer, there is certain responsibility that comes with that. Whether or not you accept that responsibility, whether or not you do something about that responsibility, is your decision. And hence,
it should be respected.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And hence, Victoria's Secret did say, we are not going to increase our sizes and we'll never cast a transgender model. Fine. That's what you believe in. Which leads to my second point, which is, you know, a lot of people speak about freedom of speech. Fantastic. Have the freedom to say whatever you want, but also understand that there are repercussions to what you say. So with Victoria's Secret saying, no, we will not go over this type of size, the repercussions are there'll be competitors who say, well, we love everyone of every single size.
But that's great. They're lying bastards, and they can pick up those airy fairy people.
Whether they're lying bastards or not, that, you know, that's the repercussion.
You make a great point.
I think.
You make a great point. But this is the whole thing about the world, is that not everyone has to just subscribe to all this fucking lunacy about you must do this, this, and this. No, I'll do what I want, what I intend to do.
Yeah.
Imagine people start picketing Ferrari for not having a girl's bike with a basket in the front.
There'll always be those.
Like, sorry, hi, we're just here making the biggest, like, the greatest thing in motoring. Why must we do that?
I would boycott Ferrari if they made a girl's bike with a basket on the front.
With a little bell.
That simple front, Yeah, if we look at the numbers, the likes of a lot of department stores in the US are, you know, they will slap an endorsement deal on someone famous, and that will lead a basic department deal to have a successful lingerie line. Even like Rihanna has her own lingerie line. You know, Rihanna's real name is Fenty. Her first name.
Like her Fenty Beauty line.
Yes, but I'm so disappointed she didn't call her lingerie line Fenty.
It's Rihanna's name, not actually Rihanna.
Rihanna's Fenty.
Well, Fenty is like a second. Sorry, that's like a Yasin Barnes joke. He says that on Twitter. It would be so smart. Fenty by Rihanna. Fenty by Fenty. It would have been so fun. But
it reminds me, sorry, of a story. I went to school with a lot of girls and guys who lived on Orange Farm or in the farm areas. Mm-hmm. And my friend was from Walkerville, this very far south of Joburg, past Orange Farm or near Orange Farm. And she would have to take a long bus ride with farm girls, like quite hectic farm girls.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a petite little thing and very shy. And there was one girl, I think they called her Dolly, on the bus. She would sit at the back of the bus, and she was a really big girl, stocky built.
Yes.
With short curly hair.
Oh, Dolly.
And my friend got onto the bus and was trying to mind her own business, but happened to glance at Dolly. And Dolly turned around and said to her loudly, "Hey, take your panty on." She's never forgotten that. She just kept dead quiet. So yeah, Rihanna's panty reminds me very much of that.
Oh, Dolly.
It could be an ad.
Your panty. I don't know if it's quite sexy. But it's okay. All right. And then this is interesting to me. And I wonder, I'm interested to hear your opinions on the story. A family who recently lost their grandfather in ICU. This is a hospital in California in the United States last Monday. Are a bit strung up and annoyed with the hospital. I wonder if they're going to take any sort of action as a step forward. But they did not appreciate the way the doctors told the family that their grandfather had passed away.
How did they do it?
The family was all sitting together, huddled around their grandfather, who was in ICU. And all of a sudden, a robot mounted on wheels rolled into the room. I didn't want to laugh. There's a screen on the robot. A doctor flashed up on the screen and said, "Oh, yo, by the way, granddad's dead." And then rolled out of the room again. And the family's saying, this is not on at all.
No, that's not on.
It's indecent. You aren't giving the grandfather dignity. And the family is really emotional
over
this.
Which hospital does that?
Well, Kaiser Permanente Medical Center in Fremont, California last night. The family just said they were all huddled up around their grandfather. Machine rolled into their room and a doctor appeared via live video link and then offered his grim prognosis. The grandfather was 78 and died.
So there's a time and place in life for robots and trying to be cool and trying to have an edge on other hospitals, but this is not the time. That's really bad.
Yeah. So
for a doctor who can't make it out, make the trip down the passage to go and tell the family.
Annalise Wilhelm.
Or at least send another doctor.
Yeah, Annalise Wilhelm is speaking on behalf of the family, saying that they were angered by the way the situation was handled and how the news was delivered. She said that she and her family hope no one else receives the same treatment.
Well, the same robot.
A spokesperson for the hospital offered sincere condolences to the family. Well, once again, it's about how you offer those condolences.
Yeah, did they send a robot?
Over video link. They say that we take this very seriously and have reached out to the family to discuss their concerns. The hospital continued to say our physicians and nurses were in regular in-person communication with the patient and their family about the patient's condition from the moment he entered our hospital. The evening video televisit was a follow-up to earlier physician visits. It did not replace previous conversations with patients and family members and was not used in the delivery of the initial diagnosis.
Mm-mm.
Ben, what do you think? Would you have appreciated this video link? Would you have thought, no. Oh, it's fine, the doctor's busy doing his rounds and we understand the doctor's a very busy person. But I don't know what they were thinking. I don't know how they thought this would have just gone down well with the family.
You can't
tell them that their grandfather's dead over video link.
I guess when it becomes such a daily thing for you, you start to look at things in a very different way. Like we're looking at this as an isolated situation, so it's very easy for us to be objective in this kind of sense. But I think when you're in the matter, not that I'm defending this, but you're in the matter, things become so matter of fact. You've lost the emotion.
It's interesting, and to round everything up for this morning, I was noting the same thing at the theme park on Saturday with regards to the staff who work there. Firstly, they have to deal with so much screaming, kids running around all over the place, but I was thinking about how desensitized to a certain extent, I'm not saying they're horrible people, but they're desensitized to the people who are going through these experiences. Like we had a lady who was just like, okay, move on. And I was like, dude, I just came off the tornado and I thought I was going to die. But she's like, sir, you're like clogging up the line. Get it. You know, and she has to do her job. I totally understand that. But to her, it's another day at the office. But to someone else, it is an experience. You know, they're going through something. I cited the similar thing when I went into the delivery room with my sister when she was giving birth last year. The nursing staff were delightful. The doctors were incredible. They did what they had to do, which was safely deliver my niece. But they were busy talking about their plans on Sunday. They were talking about, you know, they had a whole playlist of music going on. They were talking about their husbands and their wives. And you're like, hello, hi. My sister just has her whole gut exposed right now. Can you just focus on making sure we're comfortable? So on paper, what this doctor did in the California hospital was his job. He delivered the news. He went on. He made sure the patient was great, but unfortunately, the patient died. On paper, he did his work.
Mm.
Did he do it in the most...
No. The answer is no. Yeah. Will always be no.
Exactly that. So, yeah, I think there has to be a line somewhere in all of this. And, yeah, I wonder what the family is going to do after this. But that's it from my side.
Yeah, and perhaps in closing, if you want to make your day... Twitter has apparently lost it after a video showed how to peel and eat pineapple.
Did you see this?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's one of those things with my whole life is a lie.
Yes. I was today.
You don't peel
old.
The pineapple. You just cut off the bottom and it's like the corey bit. Then you grab each spine and pull it towards the core and it breaks off at the core. You don't end up eating the horrible core stuff. And you don't waste any pineapple.
I'm not even going to lie. My mind was blown by this.
I'm going to buy an ananas today.
An ananas.
So, yeah, maybe yes. if you want to make your Monday morning a little bit more interesting, buy an ananas and watch the video. Give it a try.
Yeah,
look. And it has to be really ripe, apparently. Otherwise,
this is the thing. Like, I get
hurt
it.
Your fingers.
I get it. But that looks labor-intensive as all hell.
But all of the videos that I've been seeing on Twitter, people saying, oh my goodness, this is actually, it's a bit hard as you press your thumb onto the side of the pineapple. But to pull it out, it's nice and simple and you get more bang for your pineapple bite.
Yeah, because you end up losing a lot of pineapple by peeling it.
Mm.
So yeah, somebody said lots and lots of pain. Those barbs aren't there for decoration. With a sweat emoji. But a lot of people saying that it just needs to be really ripe and soft and that's the right way to eat it.
I'm telling you, for that simple reason, I'm so ready to buy a pineapple and see what happens. All right, well, thank you so much for having us on. This is the Monday edition of the Gareth Cliff Show, the first show of the week. Have a good week, Leanne.
Thank you. I'll see you tomorrow.
Tomorrow morning. Yep. Have a good week, Ben.
See you on Friday, Ben.
Okay, see you Friday, Leanne. See you Wednesday, Sia.
See you on Wednesday, yes. And then we will chat tomorrow. You and I and Leanne will do this again tomorrow. We'll have more show and great content for you. In conclusion as well, Lubabalo messages saying, drink Black Label, Sia.
Zamalek. Go straight for the Zamalek.
The guy almost mock charged the flying fish. You reckon?
Yeah, I don't know if I have...
I still think it's the best beer in South Africa.
Of a death wish. I'm not sure about that. But then coming up now at 8 o'clock, we have a Gareth interview with Daryl Furman from Fluxmans. As you know, we've been showcasing some of the best of the best that the Fluxmans law firm have to offer. And here's someone who has an incredible story. So Daryl Furman, from Johannesburg Junior Mayor and head boy of Sandringham High School to director at Fluxmans. Well, that's Daryl Furman for you. Daryl started exceeding expectations at a very early age. He was admitted as an attorney in 2003 after obtaining a BCom Law and LLB degrees and admitted as a conveyancer in 2005. He specializes in commercial and property law and has been a director at Fluxmans since 2008. Now, as one of the top conveyancers. Thank you.
That's the one.
In Johannesburg. Now, Daryl knows how to handle tough situations. Now, do good fences make for good neighbors? Well, he'll tell you. And what hasn't changed over the years is that he still enjoys date nights with his wife. There's always time to appreciate family, friends, and fun time. And that's exactly what Daryl is speaking about. And so much more in this upcoming interview in our Law for the Love of Law series, right here on cliffcentral.com. Up until tomorrow morning, this is the Gareth Cliff Show.
This is cliffcentral.com.